A lot of the things we thought were certain to happen, graduation ceremonies, March Madness, the Olympics, have been canceled or postponed. But we can create our own rituals to count on. People celebrating holidays like Passover and Easter will have to find virtual or socially distanced ways to get together. Birthdays are being celebrated over Zoom and other platforms with BYOC rules. That's bring your own cake. And public figures like comedian Jimmy Kimmel are inviting us to join in their new rituals.
Hey, it's Jimmy. We made it through another one. Merry Christmas, I think. I don't know. I've lost track of time. I do know it's Friday. And not only is it Friday, my wife has declared this to be formal Friday. The idea is to get dressed up as if you're going somewhere, even though you're going nowhere.
Dimitris Zigalatis is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and the Cognitive Science Program at the University of Connecticut. He also runs the Experimental Anthropology Lab and researches ritual, cooperation, and some of the behaviors that make us human. Dimitris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk first about what we mean by ritual. And people might think it means something really formal, really public, but it can be small too, right? What do we mean when we say ritual in this context?
Certainly. When anthropologists talk about ritual, what we typically mean is those behaviors that either have no explicit goal. A lot of the time when you ask people, and as an anthropologist, I've asked thousands of people why they perform their rituals. And the most common answer is that, well, we just do it. That's what we do. That's who we are. So a lot of the time, those behaviors are performed for no particular reason. And even when they do have some explicit purpose, the means by which we try to achieve that purpose, they're not always causally connected to it. So if somebody asks, is brushing my teeth every morning a ritual? Well, in my book, that's not a ritual because that has a specific purpose. But if you were to wave your toothbrush around in the air every morning, hoping that this would cleanse your teeth, then that would be a ritual.
Now, you say rituals may not have a specific practical purpose, but a lot of your research looks at how important they are for our lives. You even research how ritual affects our brains and our body chemistry. What kind of things do we know?
So what we know is that rituals have very important effects for human beings on at least two levels. So at the individual level, one thing that ritual does for us is provide a sense of structure and regularity and normality. And this tends to happen because, well, ritual is by definition, is structure. You know, when you're performing a ritual, it's a familiar act. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know how to perform it. It will be done the same in the same way, let's say, every year or every day, and so on and so forth. Now, we know from neuroscience that our brain is essentially a predictive machine. We used to think of our brain in the past as being a passive processor of external stimuli, but now we know that it does much more than that. It uses current information or information from the past and from our environment to predict what's going to happen next. And this might seem very abstract, but one specific example of this is visual perception. In our visual field, we all have this blind spot. And most of us are not even aware that we have this blind spot unless we do a specific test that we can do to figure that out. And we're not aware of it because our brain fills that information in using cues from the environment. So we can function without even realizing we have this blind spot because our brain is constantly trying to predict information. Now, when we're not able to predict information, this is when we experience anxiety. And in cases like this that have a very high level of uncertainty, we see things change every day. We're worried about the future. We see that very often politicians tell us a different thing in the morning, and even health professionals, and a different thing at night. This is very stressful for us. So ritual is one way of at least getting a sense of control. Even if this sense is illusory, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that it makes us alleviate this sense of anxiety. And there are a lot of experimental studies that show this, as well as ethnographic studies.
We're talking to Dimitris Zigalatis from the University of Connecticut. He's an anthropologist. He studies rituals, why we do them, how they affect us. And we're talking about why they may be even more important now during an uncertain time like this coronavirus outbreak, where a lot of the normal parts of life aren't happening like they normally do. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you figured out a new ritual or a fill-in? Maybe that online birthday party, online a faith service. Call in at 800-642-1234. Demetrius, you're starting to get into this. Now we've got this uncertain time, and now these rituals we might have counted on, the little day-to-day stuff or the big graduation ceremony or whatever, they are gone. How does that affect us? How does that compound the anxiety we might already be feeling?
So this is another thing that ritual does for us. It gives us a sort of a sense of routine and regularity, not just on a day-to-day basis as we enact those rituals in the moment, but also in the course of our lifetime. So when we look at all human societies, whether past or present, we see that the most important moments of our personal and public lives are marked by ceremonies. And these are typical what we call rites of passage. So those are things like birthdays, like weddings, like graduation ceremonies, and of course, even the end of life funerals are marked by those rituals. And now that people cannot have those rituals, this feels off. It feels stressful. And sometimes it might take something away from our sense of completing a task or having an accomplishment. For example, when I told my students, when we discussed the current situation on the last day of classes on campus at the University of Connecticut, and I told them that classes will be moved online, the first thing that my students asked me was, what about our graduation ceremony? What will happen in May? And when I told them that I expected that the ceremony would be canceled, I could really see the disappointment in their faces.
So here we are without our usual rituals, again, either daily or weekly ones, or these rite of passage things like graduations. Is it possible to, you know, invent our own new rituals that are going to function, that are going to take the place of the stuff we're missing?
Well, we definitely see this happening right now. This is the best example of this. All over the place, people are either adapting existing rituals or creating new ones. So in terms of existing rituals, some of these age-old rituals, people are finding radically new ways of celebrating those. One example was this couple in Manhattan that was on their way to get married, and then they heard that the New York City Marriage Bureau had just been shut down because of the coronavirus. And what it is that they called a friend of theirs who was an ordained priest and asked him to marry them from his fourth floor window. So they got married in the street. And their friends gathered around at a safe distance and honked. We're also seeing things like drive-through birthday parties or drive-by birthday parades. We even see virtual funerals or last rites being administered by the phone and so on and so forth. And at the same time, you see all those rituals that are emerged spontaneously. You see a lot of individual rituals, such as the one you mentioned by Jimmy Kimmel's suggestion, that every Friday we all dress up, and we, instead of casual Fridays, now we have formal Fridays, right? And also collective rituals. You see people coming up with a lot of those types of rituals to maintain a broader sense of human connection, which is the other side of ritual, the social aspect of ritual. In many European cities, we now see that people have started to go out in their balconies at the same time every day, and they applaud healthcare workers. And we even see the opposite happening. We see the authorities, for example, in Mallorca in Spain, local policemen would gather to sing and dance in the streets for the people who are in lockdown, who were able to observe this from their balconies.
We're talking to Demetrius Zigalatis, an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and the Cognitive Science Program at the University of Connecticut. And we're talking about rituals, the things we do in a certain way at a certain time. Could be something big or something small, and it could be something that's been disrupted now by the novel coronavirus and the efforts to prevent its spread. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had some ritual you were counting on disrupted, whether it's the weekly service at your religious organization, if it's a wedding, if it's a graduation you were hoping to be at, and now that's probably off the table? Or have you created something new, either to give a sense of routine or to replace what you usually would have done? My family, we just had a virtual birthday party for a couple of kids over the weekend with a bunch of us seeing each other on screens and various sorts of cookies and cupcakes and cakes showing up along the way. Have you done something like this yourself? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Galatas. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and the Cognitive Science Program at the University of Connecticut. He also runs there the Experimental Anthropology Lab. We're talking to him about his research on rituals and how they can provide comfort to us in times of uncertainty. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a person who finds comfort in rituals, personal or public or family? Have any of your regular rituals, like celebrating a holiday, say, or a birthday, had to change lately? Have you created some new ones yourself or in your family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Cheryl is with us in Wauwatosa. Cheryl, hello.
Hi. Thanks for doing this show. It's really interesting. I just wanted to say what we did is my son is in the Army Reserves, and he's going to be leaving within the next 2 weeks for a year-long deployment. And so everything we have planned to do for goodbye has obviously been canceled, no parties or anything like that. So what we did is last Sunday, he sat in a parking lot, a big parking lot, and we invited people to, we made signs and we had balloons and all kinds of things out there to say goodbye. And then we invited people to drive by at a safe distance and they could, you know, talk to him from a safe distance just for a short time and then give him their well wishes and then move along as other people came through. And we had a really good turnout and it really made him feel good.
Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing that. How creative. I appreciate it. Pass our best wishes on as well. And thanks for calling in. Dimitri, we can be pretty inventive in times like this, can't we?
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, when it comes to individual rituals, that might be easier. Those are things that we do alone. We do in our own privacy, or our own homes, when we're talking about things like, from religious things like prayer or other kinds of things like your morning coffee. These are things we can still do. But when it gets to those collective rituals, the social aspect of ritual, this is the toughest part to replicate in a social isolation settings. And this is where you see that people are beginning to get the most creative. So just like the example we heard, I've come across all sorts of other rituals that have happened by bringing people together in their cars, or online, and trying to keep as much regularity as they can. So as many elements of those rituals be the same, let's say the balloons or the cake, and then substitute for all of those things that you can't have.
Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing your story at 800-642-1234. Dimitris, is that going to be a problem for us? I imagine this is so new, we don't have experimentation on this, but is a public ritual not done in the company of people? The social element of it is, the direct in-person social element of it is missing. Is that going to feel the same to us? Is it going to do the same stuff?
It is really difficult because one of the main aspects of those rituals is the embodied aspect. So what we do with our bodies, how we interact with each other. For example, we know that one of the ways those rituals are having the effects that they have, and those effects are creating a sense of shared identity, a sense of connection and community. We've done, in my own research, we have done things like measure hormonal responses, for example, and you see that endorphins, hormones that are associated with social bonding, they tend to increase when we engage in synchronous activities with others. Now, those are very difficult elements to replicate in a social isolation context, but we try our best. One such example are people who are coming online and trying to either sing together or dance together. For example, we have some dance parties now happening. clearly, I was recently talking to somebody, to a friend of mine who attended one of those parties. I asked him, was it the same, just like being on the dance floor and dancing with 1,000 people? And both of my friends said, well, of course it's not the same, but it's the best we can do at this point, right?
Well, and given that probably people are really hungry for it in ordinary times, no, it might not be the same. If we're missing it that badly, it might have, you know, that similar uplifting element if we're just really, really looking for it.
Absolutely. And some of those rituals, some of the rituals that we see emerge now, they can have the same embodied effects, in the sense that people are even finding ways of doing these things together, even though they're socially distancing themselves. So some examples are people going out in their neighbors, going out on the street at the same time every day and singing together or dancing together. You know, you don't have to be touching each other. You can maintain a safe distance of 10 feet or 20 feet even and still be engaged in this relatively large-scale collective ritual that is dancing in the street or chanting or applauding from your balconies. And sometimes you get the same effects, which is even you get these goosebumps that anthropologists have called collective effervescence that are the result of engaging in these synchronous activities with a large crowd.
We're talking about ritual, the importance of rituals in our lives for our well-being and how people are getting creative in a time when a lot of our regular rituals are disrupted to try to stop the spread of the pandemic right now. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Dimitris Zygalatas with us, anthropologist at the University of Connecticut. Back to your calls now. Janice is with us in Williams Bay. Janice, hello.
Hello. For the last 20 years, there's a group of us that have met every Sunday for dinner at Hernandez Restaurant in Delavan, Wisconsin. And so, of course, you know, we can't go into the restaurant anymore. But since the weather got good, we all did last Sunday. We all ordered carryout, and we met in the parking lot with our lawn chairs.
All right, at a safe distance, Janice?
Yes. We even
fantastic.
Somebody threatened to bring their yardstick, and it's each parking spot is 8 feet across. So we had the white lines that showed us, and we also had we were eating in the center that had a grassy divider in it. So,
and let me ask Janice, how was it? How was it to be out there with your friends for your regular Sunday dinner gig?
It was wonderful. Wonderful. We had all gotten to the point of being so, you know, isolated. And granted, we couldn't hug each other, which we usually did. And so we gave air hugs. But no, it was great just to, and it was nice to have good weather, too. But it really satisfied a need.
That is fantastic, Janice. I love it. And I like there, Dimitris, I know a lot of ritual, big and small, involves food and sharing food at the same time. Can you talk about the importance of maybe working some of that into our newly created rituals?
Absolutely. Sharing food is something that is really fundamental to our social nature. We can only imagine that our earliest ancestors, since the first time they gathered around the fire, they have been sharing meals. This is why the most important moments of our lives, all of our important ceremonies, they typically involve sharing food. We have it at our weddings and our biggest religious festivals, and now we have Easter and Passover coming up. In my home country, I come from Greece, every family typically gets together and roasts an entire lamb for Easter. And then they have something to eat for the rest of the week. So sharing food is a very important aspect, not just of ritual, of our very social nature. And it's very important for people to, especially with several holidays coming up now, to maintain this sense of sharing and this sense of connection. I've done it. My wife and I have recently done it with friends. We have virtual dinners. It doesn't have to be a major disruption. And having somebody in front of you through a screen doesn't have to be terribly different than just having them right there.
Yeah, Demetrius, in our last few minutes, I wanted to talk about some of those really important religious ceremonies coming up. Easter, Passover, Ramadan just around the corner. Do you have thoughts for people on ways that they can, you know, do things that are important both to their faith and their culture and their family and still come away from it with that seasonal sense of renewal?
I think that my advice is for people to just get creative. When it comes to individual rituals, look for what helps you establish a routine, a sense of regularity, and observe those routines faithfully. Make sure you create special moments, you know, dress up, cook special meals, exchange presents, whatever you would do in the context of those rituals, whether those are religious rituals or secular rituals. And if there's a special moment coming, let's say Ramadan or a birthday or a wedding anniversary for that matter, do have that celebration. Do not neglect it, because those are the kinds of the moments of our lives that leave us very disappointed if we end up missing. The example of our from our last caller is very telling here. Do have that celebration, even if you have to be creative. So you can't go to a restaurant or invite friends over, but you can still dress up. You can order some flowers for your anniversary. You can get some wine and cook a special meal for your wife. Or you can gather some friends online and have your Passover dinner. Or you can throw your children a surprise party. And the second point is look for ways to connect with people outside of your household. We do these things for our family, and if anything, some of those things might now be easier to do because we spend more time with our core family, our nuclear family, being isolated. But especially important, look for ways to connect with people outside of your household, especially those elders, our parents or grandparents who are socially isolated. Make sure you include them in those rituals, include them in those meals. And if they don't know how to use Zoom or Skype, maybe this is a good time to teach them.
Demetrius, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Demetrius Zigalatis is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and the Cognitive Science Program at the University of Connecticut. He runs the Experimental Anthropology Lab there. He joined us today to talk about the value of rituals, big or small, in daily life. You can still share what you're doing over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.